Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trundy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your Yarn in Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev. Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. And we're live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on Yidinji country. That's BBM, Bunbury Group Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NIRS, National Radio Service. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land where we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across this beautiful country of ours. Welcome Black, National Talk Black. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong? All ears here on your daily program. You can text a brother as well, 045-714-0550. And don't forget our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. All right, let's open up the tracks here with Feel Like Going Back Home. That's Ernie Dinger and Missy Higgins. Brand new day soundtrack. Enjoy.
Home right now while the mangoes are ripe. Frangipani starting to bloom and the blue bone is starting to bite.
Hey mom, I can just taste your fish soup and rice. I'm coming back home to you. Connect the place of the city. I'll be dreaming in blue.
Lazy breeze blowing through your mind. Sky blue sea, catch your feet there anytime. Driving up the dusty red highway, I got this freedom flowing wind in my hair. Soaking up the wild desert country. All my worries are gone, I don't care.
Hey mom, I can just taste your fish soup and rice. I'm coming back home to you. Collect the pace of the city life. Soon I'll be dreaming in blue. Soon I'll be dreaming in blue. Soon I'll be dreaming in blue.
Yeah, too daddy. Thank you, sister. The Jessica Malboy, and there's the radio announcement there, and station ID, too daddy. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Yarn up strong, and the number here is 1-800-422-416. Yarning with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, and live here from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns in Yidinji country. That's BBM, Bunbury Group Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NIRS, National Radio Service. Okay, looking at top news here today, what we got here in ABC News, federal government tells Queensland LNP to hold your horses on truth-telling inquiry. The federal government has warned the new Queensland Premier to hold your horses and not strap the state's truth-telling and healing inquiry. I'd certainly say to the new Premier of Queensland, just hold your horses here. The Minister for Indigenous Australian, Malindiri McCarthy, told the ABC's Indigenous Affairs team while urging the Queensland government to sit down and talk with the inquiry members. Don't be hasty. Let this process roll through. It is the decent and fair thing to do. Minister McCarthy said the federal government will be watching to see if the states and territories progress on truth-telling inquiries. I've been on the record to say that voice treaty truth of the Uluru Statement from the heart is very much supported in principle by our government, she says, but we lost the referendum and we accept the outcome. The future of reconciliation in Queensland after the new LNP government cancelled the truth-telling inquiry was high on the agenda at the annual Reconciliation Australia conference in Brisbane on Wednesday. It would appear that voice treaty truth is dead in Queensland, said Kalkanoon barrister Joshua Creamer, the chair of Queensland's truth-telling healing inquiry, who added he still has not heard directly from the Premier. Seasoned inquiries worker in this way continues 165 years of government failing to listen to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples. And that's where it's at. And so if you want to add to the conversation, maybe you want to talk about that, or maybe you want to talk about what's happening with your mob in your area or your group there, and tribal group, either way, all ears here. Yarn Up Strong here on your daily program, National Talk Black. And once again, that daily number, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black. Yeah, Black Swana, that's Jesse Lloyd here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your saying, Yarn Up Strong. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. 416. Call that number, Yana. It's yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live here at the First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BB and Bumba Bit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. All right, a landmark sentence at Gunnelom Falls confirms the importance of sacred site protection. Gunnelom Falls, Kakadu, 23rd October 2024, the NT local court fined Parks Australia $200,000, marking the end of a long-running legal battle over unauthorised works near the sacred site of Gunnelom Falls. Look, with that, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Dr. Benedict Scambury, AAPA, Chief Executive Officer. Going to yarn with Dr. Benedict and talk about this fantastic win. You there? Good morning, Dr. Bennett. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you based, Doctor?
I'm based in Darwin.
In Darwin. All right. Fantastic. So, look, a landmark sentence at Gunnelom Falls confirms the importance of sacred site protection. So, shed some light on this fantastic landmark sentence, my friend.
Yeah. So, look, we are the Aboriginal Areas Protection Authority and we operate under the Northern Territory Sacred Sites Law.
Yes.
So back in 2019, a pathway was built to the top of Gunnelom Falls, which is one of the iconic destinations in Kakadu National Park.
Mm-hmm.
And the traditional owners said it was okay to build that path, but they directed parks to build it away from some really significant and restricted rock art.
Yes.
And Parks built it right close to it. So under our Act, we laid charges against the Director of National Parks in 2020, and Kakadu is a Commonwealth National Park, and the National Parks pleaded said that they had Crown immunity from prosecution under the territory law. And we went to the High Court.
Yes.
And we got a unanimous decision there from the High Court saying that the Director of National Parks is a body corporate, not part of the Crown.
Mm-hmm.
And then we returned to the local court and we concluded the hearing 23rd of October with a $200,000 fine and a conviction for working on a sacred site.
Fantastic. So when you look at that in regard to the plan, when the when Parks Australia were operating in that area, didn't they show that they were working close to the falls?
Yeah.
In their plan?
Look, yeah, Commonwealth. Kakadu is a jointly managed park. It's Aboriginal land that's leased back to the Commonwealth government. And in their plan of management, they have to consult with traditional owners. And so they had a plan, but they changed it without talking,
there you go,
to the traditional owners. Yeah.
And by changing with that, talking to traditional owners, cost them $200,000.
Yeah, plus
there you
all
go.
The legal expenses.
And legal expenses, what have you, you know. When you look at it, Dr. Benedict, life is simple, people complicate it. Do you know what I mean? There's the rules, there's the guidelines, stay within the guidelines, and look, win for all, you would think.
That's right. And look, the process up here is a really good one. It's old legislation, but it's based on consultation with custodians of sacred sites. It's independent from government, and you know, we work with development right across the Northern Territory, and it's when people don't follow this process that's when you hear about sacred sites in the media.
Well, hats off to the judge and hats off to your lawyers in regard to the work that was done, and we've had a win here, but it didn't have to go through courts. If you look at the plan and stick with the plan, so to speak, Doctor.
That's right. That's right. It's follow the framework, follow the rules.
Well, exactly. Don't walk there. There's bindi eyes. Oh, I just got bindi eyes. Well, we tried to tell you yes. But listen, thank you very much. Fantastic win. Congratulations. Big shout to the traditional owners up there. And this is a win and AAPA. Fantastic work that you guys are doing as well. Dr. Benedict, thank you very much.
Great. Thanks, Trevor.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Beautiful yarn there. Dr. Benedict Scambury, his name is. He's with AAPA, CEO he is, Aboriginal Areas Protection Authority, and a landmark sentence at Gunnelom Falls and confirms the importance of sacred site protection. So Gunnelom Falls, Kakadu, the Northern Territory local court fined Parks Australia $200,000, marking the end of a long-running legal battle over unauthorised works near the sacred site of Gunnlaugh Falls. So, yes, they said build a pathway, but not near that site. So away from it, if we'd have stuck to the plan, they wouldn't be in this situation. So there it is. Have you saying Yarn Up Song? Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Black Rock Band, Learning on Country. Doesn't that sound deadly? Learning on Country. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Yarn Up with the Bully One here, Trevor Tim, 20 Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. So Yarn Up Strong, we go across the nation with a yarn, too deadly. And we're going to catch up a yarn there with Deadly Bulla from WA. And that's Henry Nona. Good morning, Henry. How are you, Bulla? No, you're not there, Henry. Call me back, Henry. We can make yarn. Bulla from up there, Torres Straits, I believe Badu Island, but he'll tell us that. But he works over there in WA and works in the mines over there, working in the mining industry, and he gets on and has a yarn every now and again. So we'll try and get him back and open up conversation with Bulla Henry Nona. And this is your daily program, National Talk Black, and 1 hour program it is, and that's 11 a.m. to 12 noon Queensland time. We operate here in Cairns, Yidinji, at Bummer Bripa Media, BBM 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Israeli Service. And a big shout out to the BBM team here, management and the staff, and of course, board of directors. And thank you for allowing the Bully One here steer this ship. It is your ship, your mob, but Murray just drive it into the future. And we have Deadly Yarns and Lots that have been running this program for 11 odd years. So do enjoy it. And I also want to give a big shout out to Forum W, Torres Straits. We're looking at to reach out to Sister Diet, who's the CEO. Diet Alpha Inc. Sima 4MW CEO. We'll try and catch up with her as well. But we'll try again with Bulla Henry Nona. Henry, there. Good morning. I got you.
Yeah, copper button, brother Trevor. WD Mob him.
Yeah, good morning, my Bulla. Good morning. How are you? Before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you from, brother.
Yeah, brother. Originate from the Straits, similar like yourself.
Yes.
Top Western region of the Torres Strait, that Tabu tribe, and family permanently reside out of Badu there.
Yes.
And my mum's from St. Paul.
Beautiful, brother. Beautiful.
Island there.
Yes, yes, yes. And you wear a miner's hat as well. You work in your profession in the mining industry over in WA, is that right? Is that what you call it
for? Yeah, brother.
Yeah.
I'm in the resource sector.
Yes.
As an indigenous entrepreneur, and
yes,
also they're part of our project management currently with BHP. And the purpose of my call this morning, my brother, just with reference to indigenous affairs nationally across our country.
Yes.
And I know that we're survivors,
we are
freedom fighters, when you talk about civil rights movements, not only domestically in Australia, but internationally across the globe.
Yes.
And I think I just want to, just for our listeners out there, I know that with reference to the recent results of the referendum, I think going forward, I know that when it comes to tenacity, perseverance, endurance, I know that if it won't happen in our lifetime, I think I'm looking forward for generations to come. And I think having the privilege and opportunity on the airwaves here this morning, nationally across this country, I thought I just want to mention specifically around the Black Sovereign Movement nationally across Australia. yes, the legal system in this country under the Commonwealth doesn't recognize us when it comes to us. As you know, Trevor, sovereign Dinji government, specifically, I mean, in KZ, in Dinji country, families there. And as the current Minister for Mines and Petroleum and National Security with sovereign Dinji government, I know that when it comes to accountability, my brother, they will need to continue to keep the current government in office accountable to their obligation, specifically around Indigenous affairs.
Yeah, and
don't get me wrong, brother.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of goodwill when it comes to closing the gap. But I think we got to call it for what it is.
Yes.
When it comes to the current statistics across all sectors, all industries, nationally across Australia.
Yes. Exactly, bro. And we're resilient people. And you're talking about the Yidinji government under UNDRIP, United Nations Declaration of Rights of Indigenous People, because there's no treaty with the First Nation people, they are all green light to operate their own government, which they do.
And you're dead right there, my brother. I think in terms of promoting our cause, I know that it's all about education and awareness. I think the majority of Indigenous families right across Australia, they'll come around to it. We're in the process of setting up a sovereign Indigenous government here in Perth.
Okay.
With the Noongar families.
Yep.
And I think, I thought I just mentioned, Brother Trevor, to our listeners out there, it's what I can get my head around as a native of this land. Not only in the Torres Strait, my brother, my bloodline goes to Old Mapoon, along Western Cape.
Yes.
What I can get my head around, my brother, all our listeners out there, specifically Indigenous families, to actually, we need to always produce evidence. For example, when it comes to native title, as First Nation people, under the current regime of the Commonwealth, why we have to demonstrate and prove our history, occupation to land, when it comes to native title recognition.
Yes.
There's about 420 application waiting to be approved by the Commonwealth when it comes to Indigenous families in respective areas right across Australia, demonstrating their history and family heritage to land.
You've got to give proof, is what you're saying. Why we have to do that?
Why we have to do that as First Nation people? Just to take the go back in history timeline to our listeners, 1788, invasion. We call it Invasion Day every January 26th.
Yep.
I can't get my head around, my brother. We have non-Indigenous families. Don't get me wrong. There's other Indigenous families making progress in the business sector across all industries.
Mm-hmm.
Like under the Supply Nation, there's about 500-plus Indigenous companies registered. But I think when it comes to the political arena and the political landscape, I think we need, when it comes to truth-telling, when I went to school, private and public school, history of this country wasn't taught.
Nope.
They were teaching stuff that was irrelevant.
Captain Cook, yes.
But on a positive note, my brother, I know that there's other Indigenous families in the political arena in privileged and trusted positions under the Commonwealth. Like one gutter, like I know there's different of opinions. One gutter asks why Sister Lydia Thorpe reacted the way she did. Some Indigenous families for and some against.
Sure. Yeah.
But it's the principle behind why she retaliated the way she did towards the king.
Sure. Some other people would have done it a different way, but she did it her way. But the fact she did it, she's using her voice, her position to talk up.
I think, you know where it all starts, my brother, when it comes to the topic, various topic we're discussing here, and us as First Nation people taking our rightful place in this country, I think it starts at home.
Yes.
I think we need to focus on empowering our immediate family environment and the next generation.
Yep, good statement, brother. Good, for sure. Yes.
I think when you talk about transformation and radical shift, a paradigm shift, not only domestically in Australia, but globally, it's a privilege. As you know, Brother Trevor, we have foreign relationship with foreign countries.
Yep.
When it comes to natives in other countries with sovereign Dinji government. And I know that we're not recognized by the Commonwealth, the legal system in this country, when it comes to the Black Sovereign Movement right across Australia. But it's all good. I'll hand it over to you, Brother Trevor. I thought, listening to the previous speaker there, my brother,
yes,
that's a classic example of arrogance and ignorance.
Yes, yes. Second that. Yep.
I don't want to sugarcoat or water down what we're discussing here, brother.
Call it what it is.
Brother, I'm actually in the state of WA, the engine room for Australia's economy. And when you talk about black clouding, non-Indigenous, I say it respectfully for the listeners out there, non-Indigenous listeners, we have non-Indigenous companies in the gas, oil and mining sector taking advantage of Indigenous businesses for commercial gains.
Yes.
When you're making reference to black clouding. And my interpretation to that, it's technically fraud. And you even got our own mob in business.
Yes.
Giving consent, don't have the business ethics, don't have the business savvy, and they've been taken for a ride. So I think when you really look at it, brother, I think us, our mob in general, sometimes we are our own worst enemy.
Almost enemy, exactly. My brother, thank you for your input. Thank you for your input. Please keep in touch. Big shout out to the mob there, and good yarns, my brother. Thank you.
Love you, and Godspeed, my brother.
God bless. Love you. Beautiful yarn there, Henry Nona, from up top there, Torres Strait, Badu Island, but they're operating in WA, working in the mining industry and just having his input. You can do the same by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black.
Hey, what you doing, your mob? It's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yeah, Papu.
Yeah, Blue Mountain, Rita Mills, Too Beautiful, that deadly track. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong? Yarning up here with Edmonton Police. We have Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay and also got the PLO, Police Liaison Officer, Stephen Grant, and a very good morning to you both. Hi, gentlemen. How are we?
Trevor.
Good morning.
Morning.
Yep, great morning. To see you both. Yep. Been a while. Thank you. Start with you, Steve. Who are you, mob? Where are you from?
Yeah, proud Jitterbell Gitterbone boy from the wet rainforests of the Tully Cardinal Mission Beach area.
Yeah, beautiful.
Beautiful.
And our hillbilly, Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay from Atherton.
Atherton, yep.
And you do the drive every day from up top.
Up and down
to Edmonton.
Yep, thank God for my hybrid vehicle.
<That's>
so I don't chew too much fuel up.
Yeah, yep. That's right. Fantastic.
Yes.
Good to see you, Glenn Delay. Now, look, our topic here today, gentlemen, we're coming up to the monsoonal season. So this is a cyclone area here in far north Queensland. And so we need to be prepared. Sometimes we get too lackadaisy, don't we?
We do, yeah. Mm. Especially our long-term locals. They seem to be a little bit more blasé about our cyclone season than our newer residents. But it is, look, cyclone season is officially from the 1st of November to 30th of April.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean we're locked into those dates for our cyclones. As we know, our weather does its own thing. And when one decides to roll on in... You know,
that happens.
It does say. So, look, certainly if you're living in a cyclone-prone area and on the east coast of Queensland or in the Gulf, across the top end and down the western side there of Western Australia, you know, cyclones become a normal part of this time of year and we need to prepare.
And look, here we are in 21st century and don't care how advanced we get with technology and what have you.
Mm.
Mother Nature will still slap us around if she wants to, eh?
Absolutely. Sure. Yeah, yeah.
You know.
So we can't be lackadaisy.
And, you know, look, on this side of the coast, we have had some big cyclones over the years that have caused a lot of damage and...
Cyclone Jasper just last
12
year.
Months, you know, 12 months,
that's right.
Yeah.
Brought a lot of rain, virtually flooded Cairns, and that was back in the last flooded rain like that was back in 1974 or something like that.
Yeah, sure. And look, so Jasper was a good example of a cyclone that we didn't really think was a huge cyclone, as in category.
No, yeah, but it left its tail, left a lot of...
Absolutely, when it stagnated there over sort of that Woodjill.
Exactly, Woodjill got closed down, exactly, that's right.
Mossman. You know, they really copped a lot of weather from that event. So.
And even the Mossman Port Douglas Highway.
Correct.
Yeah, it's still running in one lanes there in some of the areas, and here we are 12 months later. There you go.
Absolutely. Mm. Yep. So they have a lot of, they contribute to a lot of devastation in our local communities. But what people can do is certainly understand their risk.
Yes.
You know, where they live will determine that risk.
Mm.
Certainly me up on the Tablelands, you know, my risk is probably a little bit lower than someone living on the waterfront at Yarrabah.
Sure,
you know,
exactly.
So, you know, I'm a little bit further inland. We've got a bit of a mountain in between us.
Mm.
Know that risk where you are and where you're living. But the most important thing is to make a plan and have that plan in place well before this event happens. And
yep.
Look, part of the plan may be tidying your yard up, cutting a few trees.
Yeah, let's talk about understanding some of the risk. We've got a list there, haven't we? What we can do in being prepared.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, look, you can pack a kit, you know. That's something that most people do every year, just with some supplies, grocery supplies.
Yep.
Look, one of the things I always find funny when a cyclone rolls in is people rush to the supermarkets and they seem to buy all the refrigerated food.
Hello, yeah. That's right, yeah. Exactly. Don't do that.
Yeah. And look,
and toilet paper.
And toilet paper. Yeah. Well, that's always a hot topic. And
is it? Yeah, that's right.
So yeah, look, have a lot of canned food. You know, stuff that you can prepare without the use of power.
Sure.
You know, be prepared that your water may go off. So you know, you really need to have adequate water supply.
Yes.
And look, most places in the far north here, I know, have generators. One of their biggest errors that they make is they don't start and test their generator well before this season starts. So,
yeah, gotcha.
You know, look, this is something that I've just done last weekend with my own generator at home.
Okay, yes.
You know, started
up. Yeah, the Kickstarter, get it going. Get it running. And also the other thing, while we're talking about generators, not indoors.
Definitely not indoors, ooh. No. Absolutely not. That's that's definitely a health risk. And, if you're having these plans before the event happens, you may find that your generator doesn't start. You've got time then to get it to
exactly.
The small engines mechanic,
yep, exactly.
Get it repaired, and it's all in ship shape.
And this is preparations. That's what we're talking about, aren't we?
Yeah. Mm. So, you know, we don't want to be pulling the cord there right on the event and nothing happens. So, look,
make a plan.
Yep, have a plan. And look, during the disaster, there's a couple of things that we need to consider. Firstly, is to follow the instructions of local authorities.
Okay. Yep.
Emergency services, and tune into the warnings.
Mm-hmm.
Now, locate your plan, your weather plan, and your emergency kit.
Yep.
Or evacuation kit, and have it ready for evacuation if you need to. And that's one of the things that happened with Jasper. We did evacuate some areas there where flooding occurred.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, that caught a lot of people by surprise.
It did, off guard.
You know,
and we're talking about helping them. You know, helicopter, dinghies, boats, what have you.
That's right.
Exactly.
Yep. So be prepared that may be a possibility during the event. The other thing is to have your vehicle ready, fueled up.
Oh, yeah, your car fueled up, exactly, yep.
Ready to go. And look, part of that plan then maybe is your escape route from your house. There may be a river that may need to be traversed, or maybe you need to go to a neighbour's house. That's something that you just need to have a think about if you were evacuated.
Just on that, Glenn, is it priority to actually leave your house prior to the cyclone coming to land, or what's the QPS's outcome there? Where
I think that'll be where we follow the instructions of local authorities. You know, and look, we are dependent on the Bureau of Meteorology giving us that advice on what's actually rolling in and what to expect. So yeah, absolutely. If
the authorities run under that information.
Yep.
And if it means evacuate, then there's the order, so to speak.
Sure.
Yeah. Act on it. And look, that may be it may be part of your plan that you decide to evacuate, regardless of the advice.
The authorities could advise you, but it's entirely up to you. You've got to make that decision, or can they push it?
Look, we're not going to put handcuffs on people.
There you go. So it's about. Well, common sense.
People have to make decisions, for their own
safety.
So, but look, if an evacuation is happening, certainly we will encourage people to evacuate, and they should be listening to those warnings.
Yep.
Or there's
directions.
There's consequences if they
don't. If they don't, exactly. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
So very important, yeah. So it's good to be talking about this. For you might be just tuned in, Trendy Trev here, Murray from the Curry, National Talk Black, having a daily yarn with Edmonton Police, Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay, and PLO Police Liaison Officer, that's Stephen Grant. And talking about the cyclone season, it's upon us. Here we are, 1st of November, and need to keep our eyes and ears open, and also clean up around your house as well, I would think, as well.
Yeah.
Regarding shrapnels.
Absolutely.
They could become missiles.
Yep. And might be the trampoline in the backyard.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the tinny sitting.
The trailer. Empty trailer. Absolutely. Yeah, exactly.
There's a number of things that turn into
Cut
missiles.
Down the trees now. You know, some of the trees, branches, trim them a bit.
Yep, yep. Or you might have an old shed there that's falling apart that you might think, well, that iron could...
Yeah, it could
blowing around. So, you know, these are the things we need to think about now while the weather's good. And, and well before the event happens.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. For Christmas, boys, off a new shed. There you go.
Get
it in now.
Insurance perps.
Insurance perks.
Yeah.
Too deadly. All right. Now, quickly talk about the hat that you're wearing. You're still PLO, Steve, but you're moving to a new department soon.
Yeah, so I've departed Edmonton Station.
So you've already left?
Yep, four weeks ago. I'm now.
So he's not your boss. Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay.
No, we've had our separation.
Separation. There it is.
So I'm currently working for the First Nations Division as a recruitment officer under the ED Alan Jewis.
Okay.
And under the guidance of Superintendent Kerry Johnson and the team in Brisbane. Shout out to those guys down there at headquarters. Thank you. And I've been there for 4 weeks, but. I'm sure we'll have these conversations with Glenn again on with BBM.
This continues as well, a yarning circle here, which is fantastic. And so you're coming from a different department, so to speak, but still under QPS.
Correct.
And how long were you at Edmonton, mate?
I started there on the 2nd of February 2021.
21, there you go, three odd years.
Yeah.
You're losing a good man there, Glenn, Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay.
It is. It's less of a place without Stevie Grant.
There you go.
Yep. We don't have that infectious laugh.
No more laugh anymore.
The door. It's just deadly serious work going on there now.
Yeah, there you go. Not eyes crossed, T's now.
Yep.
Heads
yep.
down, bums up. Yep. We can do our work now. There you go, brother.
Yeah, so big shout out to the Edmonton crew and colleague there in downtown sunny Gordonvale, young Jacob, doing his best. So, still look forward to catching up with the crew.
Now, the sad thing is with that, Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay, you lose a PLO and unfortunately not getting another one.
No, not at this stage.
Not at this stage.
Yeah, so we've just reallocated that position number through to the cultural unit.
Okay, right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know.
Well, hats off to Edmund Police. You've done your bit there and supporting another department.
Yep. Yeah.
And this deadly man over there.
Yep. Yeah. All right. So yeah, and it is nice having Steve up in the First Nations unit. You know, he's you know, going to be a valuable tool for us, even in that unit.
Even that unit, exactly.
If we need to lean on him. Yeah.
There you go. Get ready to be leaned on, brother. All right. Well, all the best, gentlemen. Thank you very much. Take care, right?
Thanks, Jeff.
Bye.
Beautiful yarn there with the boys in blue, the Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay from Edmonton Police, and also Police Liaison Officer and Stephen Grant. Deadly yarn there. You might have your say and yarn up strong. About 13 minutes left on the program. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416.
I'm sorry, I know I hurt you, I haven't been there. Just self-indulgent, I only thought of myself, a man with no care. I can't believe you stuck by me, all those times I shamed you after my insecurities. I made mates with the bottle, I never thought about tomorrow and all the pain that I've been causing for so long.
I'm sorry. That's the name of the song, actually. And Troy and Trevlin, big shout out. I'm sorry, deadly track there. And sorry to cut that off. But yeah, this is your deadly program, National Talk Black. I'm just going to have a quick yarn with our deadly sister from up at Torres Straits, SIMA. That's Torres Strait Island Media Association. 4MW CEO, we have Diet Alfarink on the line. And just talk about that deadly space. And they're coming on board with us here for National Talk Black. Diet, good morning. Hello, Diet, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, good morning, sister. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Good, good, good. Before we start, let the mob know who you mob. Where you from, sister?
I'm here in the Torres Strait. My mob are from Badu and Mabiog. And on my other side, yes. I'm Dutch Australian on my dad's side. Yeah.
All right, there you go. Fruit salad. Plenty. Now, 4MW, Miraba Wakai, yeah? Fantastic. The is there a meaning to that, sister?
Yeah, the voice.
The voice. There you go. Beautiful. So, 4MW, you're the CEO. How long have you been the CEO up there, dear?
About 8.5 years now. Cool. Getting on into the job a bit, yeah.
So, you know what you're doing then, sister?
I hope so.
Fake it till you make it. But, yeah, 8 years, that's, training wheels way off there. You are driving the ship and fantastic. How long has 4MW been operating for?
Well, we're coming up to our 40th anniversary next year, so we're excited to be celebrating 40 years.
Congratulations.
Community broadcasting and third oldest Indigenous broadcaster in the country. So, yes. Yeah, that'll be a big party.
Fantastic. Well, you have to, come up in dinghy, come and party with your mob. Too deadly. Yeah. Thank you. How many crew you got on board there?
Oh, you know, it's a changing ship. We've got our regulars and our, Annie Jen's still here. We've got Sylvia and obviously we've got young Lukey and a few other young ones coming on board with volunteering. So,
yes.
Yeah, it's a good crew of community and also our Outer Islands mob as well. So
fantastic.
Yeah, we're
cruising along deadly. Now, 4MW, when you broadcast, is it just right throughout the Torres Straits?
Yeah, it's right throughout the country, obviously.
Of course.
It's a national thing now with all the technology.
Yes, exactly, with radio apps and whatever.
On the app.
Yep.
With that, as well as obviously PNG as well, the Western Province.
Okay, beautiful PNG, yep.
So,
yep.
You know, radio is accessible anywhere now, as you know.
Well, as I always say, we are in the 21st century, but people still listen to the wireless.
The wireless, yes.
The wireless.
Well, it's, you know, important for our island. Mobile,
it is, a voice for our people, yeah. Exactly,
yeah,
sister, so. Exactly. Do we have other stations out on the other islands, the outer islands, or all comes from 4MW on Thursday Island?
Yeah, so we've got our RIBS network. So
okay,
we've
RIBS.
Got stations on the outer islands as well. So Yam Island, Warabar, Horma, Arab.
Okay.
And, yeah.
And a big shout out to all those islands. Yeah, beautiful. So. Fantastic.
Yeah, but it's constant challenges, obviously, with infrastructure and funding and all that sort of stuff.
Yes. We run on the smell of an oily rag, don't we, sister?
Yeah.
Yeah. And congratulations. Thank you for joining us. So when I say congratulations, I mean congratulations because we're excited. We're congratulating ourselves the fact that 4MW have taken up National Talk Black. So this is very good in regards to people up that way can get on the hooter and have their say and yarn up strong on that 1-800 number and yarn with myself or talk about what's happening with the tribal mob or with the organisation or, you know, with their family or anything. All yarns, all open for any yarns. But it's great to have you guys on board with National Talk Black, my sister.
Yeah, no, it's good. Really good. And lots of things happening in this neck of the woods always.
Yes.
Actually, we're in the front line at the border here, so there's always lots of exciting news happening and things we've got to cover and whatever. So, yeah.
Good.
Good spot to be in.
Yep, no, fantastic. And look, we do joint ventures, Bummer Bripper, with Simon, with UMob up there. So it's great. The relationship is strong. And talking about bridge building, and we support each other. And it's great that we've got the connection now with National Talk Black, my sister.
Yeah, no, good. Yeah, no, we're looking forward to the future there, doing some more things together. And I suppose that's what community broadcasting and media is about. It's about sharing.
Exactly.
Sharing the content, sharing the stories, and getting excited about all the good stuff.
And all the good stuff and all the deadly yarns. Well, good yarning to you, my sister. Thank you for sharing and all the best to your deadly team. Dia, we will be yarning soon and catch up and make a kai kai. There you go. That's the deadly yarn there, right there. But good yarning with you and big shout out to your deadly team there, sister.
No worries. And check out the Torres News too for Torres Strait stories as well because we produce that as well.
Of course, Torres News, exactly. All right, beautiful. Yes, well, the SIMA is Torres Strait Island Media Association. So as well as radio, you do print. And also, big shout out, you're Darren Moncrief up there. Is he still up there as well?
He was here for a little, but he's headed back down to Currie Land.
Currie Land, but, okay. Yeah. He was doing the Currie Mail. All right, fantastic. Yeah. Well, too deadly. Thank you, my sister. All the best, and we'll yarn soon, eh?
No worries. Take it easy. Bye.
Yeah, well. Deadly yarn there. That's Diet Afferink. Sima, 4MW CEO, been there up to about 8.5 years, she reckon. So fantastic. And they operate there on Thursday Island, Torres Straits. And 4MW, Miruba Waikai, is the MW, what it stands for. And they have taken up National Talk Black, so good to be yarning with those guys there. It's come to a time where Trendy Trev signs up very soon. Got a couple of messages here. We'll take you up to the news. But thank you for your company. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. And we'll yarn soon, you mob. Too deadly.
Thinking about uni or TAFE, but unsure what study will be like? You're not alone. Plenty of our mob found the course they want and the support they were looking for at CQ University. Thanks to campus locations across the country, as well as dedicated Indigenous support staff who are there to welcome, guide, and listen. See it. Be it. We know you can. Start your journey at CQ Uni today.
Station sponsor.
Australia, it's time to check your tech. The national 3G network is closing from the 28th of October. Your devices might not work when it's gone. From your phone to your smartwatch and your tablet, even personal emergency alarms, FPOS terminals and fire and security alarms. Check your tech so you and your family stay safe and connected. Visit 3gclosure.com.au and act before the 28th of October.
Station sponsor.